Our next speaker is here in place of Archbishop Bernardito Ayuza. Father Bishop Ayuza is the Vatican Permanent Observer at the United Nations, and his assistant is Father Roger Landry. He's from Massachusetts. If anyone needs an interpreter, please let us know. But Father Roger is here in place of Bishop Ayuza, and he's going to tell us about some of the church's response via the United Nations.
Thank you very much, Father Jeff. One of my tasks at the Holy See is to run our conferences, and we do about 25 a year, and so I appreciate very much how much work goes into a conference, and I just want to congratulate you, Father Jeff, and all the co-sponsors and all the members of your team for doing such a beautiful conference. My greetings of Archbishop Ayuza. He had to fly to the Philippines and then to Rome and back to the Philippines, and he wanted to come here, but he recognized that that just really isn't good on the body, and he's getting wiser. And so he came into my office a couple weeks ago and said, "Would you mind going to Louisiana?" And I said, "Down where there are whole counties named after Saint Landry and Catholic churches in Opelousas named Saint Landry," I said, "I'd love to go to Louisiana." So today I'm going to be talking to you about the United Nations and human trafficking and how the Holy See engages the discussion and the work there. The first thing I'd say, and I'll spend about the first third on the situation of the UN, and then the second two-thirds on what the Holy See is trying to do. The UN is very attuned and focused on the scourge of trafficking. There are several documents and actions that I would use to highlight its attention over the course of time. The first is this protocol to prevent, suppress, and punish trafficking in persons, especially women and children. It was passed in 2000 and was ratified 3 years later. We'll talk about some of its provisions in a second. Second main document would be the Global Plan of Action to Combat Trafficking in Persons that was just reevaluated last year. I participated in that. Transforming Our World, the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, what we've already heard about up until now with regard to the SDGs. The fourth is the global, which is now presently being negotiated, the Global Compact for Safe, Orderly, and Regular Migration, which is being negotiated intergovernmentally in New York, and then the Global Compact for Refugees, for which there's an intergovernmental consultation happening at the UN in Geneva. When you look back to this first document, I'm not going to get so much into the weeds here. If you would like to get a copy of my PowerPoint, the last slide tells you how to do it to be able to look at it. But it's comprehensive, and it really set the agenda for national legislations all over the world in terms of the types of things that it identified. Defines the crime of human trafficking, three parts to it. There's an act, like transporting or recruitment, means, force or coercion, fraud, purpose for forced labor or sexual exploitation, or to harvest their organs or to put them into bonded labor situations, etc. Prohibits the trafficking of kids under 18, facilitates their return. If parents are trafficking their kids, it suspends their rights. Ensures that trafficked persons are not punished for offenses related to their situation. This is something that was already present 18 years ago. Ensures that victims are protected from deportation or return when there's a security risk that they'll suffer upon being repatriated. Considers granting temporary and permanent residence in exchange for testimony against traffickers. That's a little bit controversial because of in exchange for, or on humanitarian grounds, granting the capacity to remain where they are. Provides criminal penalties for aggravated offenses. And provides for the confiscation of proceeds of trafficking for the benefit of trafficked persons. So this was the UNTIP protocol, it's sometimes called. It's been adopted now by 173 different countries. Implementation of it in those nations is, it varies, but huge progress since 2003 in getting it from what was in the 20s up to the 170s over the course of the last 15 years. The Global Plan of Action to Combat Trafficking in Persons was a major initiative in 2010. It focuses on what we heard Joel saying yesterday with regard to the U.S. situation, the four P's: prevention of trafficking in persons, protection and assistance of victims, prosecution of crimes, and the formation of partnerships intergovernmental with civil society, with faith-based organizations, etc. This was just reappraised, and I want to focus on the reappraisal because this is the current language in the situation at the United Nations. These are taken from the appraisal that was adopted last September when we get 180 world leaders come to the United Nations for what we call UNGA, the UN General Assembly. Strong political will to take decisive action to end this heinous crime wherever it may occur. Second part is address some of the root causes that's leading to the vulnerabilities. Third, stating very clearly that this is a crime and a serious threat to human dignity, and it's a challenge to sustainable development, which makes everybody's ears prick up at the United Nations, because if you can't relate it to sustainable development, then oftentimes it doesn't get any attention. It focuses on the ratification of the previous instrument by those countries that have not yet adopted it. Solidarity and compassion for victims and survivors. We fought very hard at the Holy See to make sure we had a robust paragraph on the rescue and rehabilitation, full rehabilitation of those who have survived trafficking. A lot of the times the emphasis at the United Nations is on law enforcement, and we were actively with other member states trying to have much greater attention given in our documents to the care for victims. This is still from the same appraisal last September. Commit to intensify our efforts to prevent and address with a view to eliminating the demand that fosters trafficking. We worked hard with the European Union specifically on the paragraph that includes this, and the focus on demand is becoming a larger priority there, thankfully, because we can talk as much as we want to about getting the traffickers and helping victims, but there's a whole culture that is fomenting the objectification of women, that includes pornography, that includes legal prostitution. And we were very pleased that the EU was fighting hard to say against the exploitation of women, whether legal or illegal. Focuses on the scale of global resourcing isn't enough, that there have to be far more resources given. Reaffirms that the crime of trafficking persons for the purpose of organ removal constitutes a form of exploitation. This was very controversial because Spain at the same time was trying to table a resolution against organ trafficking. We had to work hard to make sure that this was in the assessment. And then the last paragraph is about strengthening collective action, and we work to make sure that faith-based organizations, because our Catholic Church is, for one, footprint of women religious across the globe, they are doing so much to rescue and rehabilitate and reintegrate those who have suffered this heinous crime. Third main document is the Sustainable Development Agenda, and the Sustainable Development Agenda has 17 goals, 169 targets, three of which are focused on trafficking in one form or another. Target 5.2, to eliminate all forms of violence against women and girls in the public and private sphere, including trafficking and sexual and other types of exploitation. Goal 5 was all about women, and so we were specifying women. 8.7, which you've already heard about a few times today, to take immediate and effective measures to eradicate forced labor, end modern slavery and human trafficking, and secure the prohibition and elimination of the worst forms of child labor by 2025. And 16.2, which is all about children. 8 is all about work. On the goal on children's point, the target 2, end abuse, exploitation, trafficking, and all forms of violence against and torture of children. The unfortunate thing is when you have 169 targets and then several hundred indicators for all of this, it is kind of going to get lost in the agenda. For those of us who are concerned about human trafficking, we're grateful that it's here, but unlike the Millennial Development Goals, which basically had 8 and were implemented over the course of 15 years to a large degree, especially with regard to poverty, 169 is asking for a lot. It requires great stamina. It also requires great focus. And so the focus that's being given, for example, to 8.7 is to make sure that that gets priority. the UN in human trafficking in general. The last point is with regard to the vulnerable situations of refugees and migrants. There are three main situations there. The New York Declaration for Refugees and Migrants, which was adopted in September of 2016, and these two global compacts that I mentioned to you. In the New York Declaration, I'm not going to read this. You can if you wish. I just want to show you that there was a huge emphasis in there with regard to the overlap between migration and trafficking, refugees and trafficking, that many of the times the networks that are involved in trafficking are using smuggling systems in order to be able to get their victims. They'll even have them pay as if they were paying a coyote to smuggle them across the border, and then they're raped in the back of the 18-wheelers so that by the time they arrive in the destination, they're already dehumanized to the point that they'll work the streets. The Global Compact for Safe, Orderly, and Regular Migration, ongoing negotiations. There are 22 objectives that are in the working draft. Two of the objectives refer to our situation, but especially Objective 10. And you can see that there are eight different specified points with regard to the different aspects of how we need to eradicate human trafficking in the context of migration and the refugee crisis. And so there's a lot of attention being given with great specificity. We're learning as we go where the sort of holes are, and we're plugging up those holes. Now to the Holy See, we transition a little bit more to the Holy See. There's an important point about nomenclature in the work that we have here. I know Joel yesterday used terms interchangeably. That's something that we don't generally do at the UN. Human trafficking and trafficking in persons are expressions that in international law, UN TIP protocol, actually have criminality associated with it. Modern slavery does not. It's more persuasive when you hear it within the context of the transatlantic slave trade once upon a time, but it's not really codified in the same way. There are some who want to take it back to the 1926 Slavery Convention, which was governed by the ownership of others, trying to expand ownership to mean that you control others. And if so, you could have the already ratified convention from 1926 apply to this circumstance. But what we basically use at the Holy See is we will ordinarily use the expression human trafficking in all forms of modern slavery, because not all forms of modern slavery is trafficking according to the definition of the TIP, because there's not translation of person from point A to point B. With regard to the situation at the UN, Pope Francis, when he came in September of 2015, used an expression, which is one of his expressions that are unforgettable because nobody else has ever used it anywhere. Declarationalist nominalism is what he said. And what that basically means is that we'll use a lot of words at the UN and in other bodies, but is it followed up in practice? And so what he said is, our world demands of all government leaders a will that's effective, practical, and constant. Concrete steps and immediate measures to put to end as quickly as possible the phenomenon of social and economic exclusion. He's getting to the root causes here with its baneful consequences. Human trafficking, the marketing of human organs and tissues, the sexual exploitation of boys and girls, slave labor, including prostitution. Such is the magnitude of these situations and their toll on innocent lives that we must avoid every temptation to fall into a declarationalist nominalism that would assuage our consciences. We need to ensure that our institutions are truly effective in the struggle against all these scourges. Pope Pius XII, back in 1943, before the UN was even founded, but as it was being talked about, worried that because the General Assembly really has no teeth, that it would just become the world's most famous debating club. That we'd talk about things, we'd put a lot of words down, but he worried about the follow-through. And that's something we have to be on top of at the UN to make sure, in everything, including trafficking, that we get beyond political declarations of words to genuine, effective, practical, and constant will. There's been, overall, an emphasis on law enforcement. Too much, I think, in my opinion. Again, it's being directed, the effort by the UN Office on Drugs and Crime, which is geared, for example, toward law enforcement. We're grateful that there's been much progress in terms of the adoption of the UN TIP protocol and national legislation, but as we heard yesterday, convictions are pretty minimal across the board. We need to help get these victims off the streets. We need to rehabilitate them. Leadership and coordination is an issue that we talk about among the delegations there. You've got the UNODC, you've got this ICAT group, the Interagency Coordination Group Against Trafficking in Persons, which is defined by the UN itself as a policy forum among 20 different UN departments, offices, and agencies. There's a question of who's going to lead that, whether every one of the 20 agencies has the scope in order to be able to do it. Most of us who work in human trafficking within the UN system would love to see that beefed up. The group of Friends United Against Human Trafficking, so 24 member states, chaired by Belarus. We host a lot of events, frankly. We're not a member of it at the Holy See, but it's present, and they're constantly trying to exercise some influence. Various permanent missions have been very much involved. Have to give a lot of credit to the mission of Liechtenstein, which has taken on one part of it, trying to break the financial chain, and hosted an awful lot of events. Civil society, so faith-based organizations across the world, various non-governmental organizations, are the ones, frankly, who are doing most of the heavy lifting. The Church's work on human trafficking didn't begin with Pope Francis. It's important, at least for Catholics, to know that there's a prehistory. Vatican II, in Gaudium et Spes, its pastoral constitution on the Church in the modern world, condemned as infamies the slavery, prostitution, the selling of women and children, disgrace for working conditions, etc. Those are some of the pillars for the Catholic understanding in the modern world of where we fit in. St. John Paul II gave a lengthy address in 2002 on the issue of human trafficking. He said some incredible words there. Iniquitous trade. We've got to punish those who profit. We've got to assist the reintegration of its victims. He talks about sort of the three of the four P's there. Goes into the sexual exploitation of women coming from an anthropological starting point where we objectify people and we think we can use them exclusively as means for our own gratification. And then he urged that attention be given not just to the significant political and juridical issues involved, but also to the ethical questions that fuel the market demand for human trafficking. The lifestyles and the models of behavior, particularly with regard to the image of women, that generate what's become a veritable industry of sexual exploitation in the developed countries. Pope Benedict likewise spoke about it. You can read it a little bit later. He again gets to that underlying point about how we treat others. Pope Francis has taken it to a much higher level. Soon after he was named, he sent this famous handwritten letter to Bishop Sanchez Arondo. I believe it would be good to examine human trafficking and modern slavery. Organ trafficking could be examined in connection with human trafficking. Muchísimas gracias, Francisco, right? I mean, straightforward. He had this 2014 Joint Declaration of Religious Leaders Against Modern Slavery, talked about in his two first major documents, Evangelii Gaudium and Laudato Si. Dedicated an entire message for his World Day of Peace in 2015, which means that was the priority that year of the Vatican Diplomatic Corps across the world. So he wanted us throughout to be prioritizing it. His UN General Assembly address, which mentions it, the foundation of this Santa Marta group, which is very important. Prelates and international police chiefs across the world collaborating for the eradication. He just spoke on Monday in Buenos Aires about human trafficking yet again. He speaks a couple times a month generally about the scourge. Talks about three tasks down at the end, breaking the veil of indifference through increasing awareness, so it's an educational. Acting in favor of those who have been enslaved and making sure that their perpetrators don't escape justice. And addressing the root causes, especially the poverty that makes people vulnerable. The emphases of the Holy See at the United Nations is in negotiations. We're again addressing demand, rescue, rehabilitation, and reintegration, the underlying causes, and the work of faith-based organizations. The secularists at the United Nations want to pretend as if faith-based organizations don't exist. So we are constantly trying not only to state that, but to show it. And that goes to the conferences. We've hosted several conferences on human trafficking. One huge one was in April of 2016. Bishop Sanchez Arondo was there, co-sponsored with the Santa Marta Group. We had the President of the General Assembly, 13 ambassadors, ministers of various states, leaders from the UNODC, International Labor Organization, the International Organization for Migration, UN University Freedom Fund. So many of the leading people came to this. And you know, we were told that they were really excited that the Holy See was taking on a leadership role because it could transcend some of the balkanization that happens in the leadership structure there. They're hoping that we can be a bridge bringing everybody together. Another event on the pastoral care of women and girls working or living on the street, again, to describe the best practices to be able to help, sometimes very gradually, get them from where they are off the streets and what's needed to keep them from the streets once they've been liberated. During the following Commission on the Status of Women, which is where we do something on trafficking every year, economically empowering trafficking survivors to stay permanently off the streets, what's needed to give them a new life, something specifically dedicated to the trafficking of children and youth, very highly attended, and another that we just held last 2 months ago, preventing trafficking among rural women and girls. A lot of the focus on trafficking is on cities and what happens in cities, but so much of the recruitment happens in rural areas with lots of fancy promises that we've got jobs waiting and other things in the cities. And so what has to happen in order to be able to prevent it there through education, through anti-poverty programs, etc. One of the interveners here at this made a passionate appeal to the international community to make sure that the money that's being given to anti-trafficking efforts across the world doesn't stay in big organizations with their offices in national capitals, because that's essentially what does happen. And it almost never gets out to the people in rural areas in particular where so many of the victims come from. All of the conferences that we do on trafficking and everything else, we broadcast live on webtv.un.org. They're also always on demand. If you'd be interested in any of that, you can just go to the holyseemission.org website, click on events, type in trafficking, for example, to the built-in search engine, and you'll get our various events there. If you'd like to stay up to date on what we're doing, if you would ever want to come to any of these events, just get our free weekly newsletter at holyseemission.org. All our stuff that we do there is in those newsletters, but trafficking is one of the six priorities that we really focus on from year to year. Our mission likewise participates in many other conferences that are hosted by other missions and even outside of the UN. And we're not the only permanent observer mission of the United Nations. There's one in Geneva that similarly works on trafficking. There's another one in Vienna where the UNODC is based that similarly works on trafficking. And so all of us are speaking univocally, frankly, on this very important issue. If you'd like to have a copy of this presentation in either PowerPoint or PDF, just go to catholicpreaching.com. It's the easiest way I can get it to you because I'm totally in control of the site. And you'll see on the right side a small little thing, recent talks, and you'll be able to download it. Thanks, everybody, for your attention.